I don't think there's a child on this planet, regardless of religion, race, color, creed, or language, that hasn't said, "It's not fair." Especially the younger sibling, who doesn't get the same as the older sibling, though many years before. It's not fair. In today's gospel, we hear about the scandalous mercy of God. I remember in my own life, having had a conversion, being raised in the church my whole life, but not really coming to know Jesus on a personal relationship level until my confirmation retreat. And that began my own personal journey of sincere faith, of authentic religion, focused on a relationship. And I became very involved after that confirmation retreat in youth group, rosaries every Friday night at a different house, all 15 mysteries then as it was of the rosary, prayed with other people. I would go to retreats on pro-life issues, retreats on Marian issues, on Marian conferences, Eucharistic conferences. I would help teach religious ed while in high school as an assistant. I would give talks on that same retreat to other eighth graders being confirmed as it was back in South Florida. Very involved. Very engaged. I'd come to Mass 20 minutes early to prepare my heart and to pray and be ready for the liturgy. I'd go to holy hours during the week. I mean, I was sure I was super Catholic. And then I went off to college, to Franciscan University of Steubenville, and I was sure I was probably one of the most holiest people around and the most humble. And as I went to college and I met these other extraordinary young adults who themselves were also leaders in their communities in the church and had gone to Franciscan University to study what the church actually teaches and to grow in that faith in an environment of deep devotion and love for the church, its teachings in Christ above all else, I encountered other people even holier than me. I couldn't believe it. People humbler than me, people more compassionate than me, people that were better speakers than me, people that knew the faith better than me. And I wondered, my goodness, they must have grown up in a devout Catholic family and been raised that way since birth. I had to have a conversion at 13. I've been going at this for 5 solid years and I think I'm really holy. And then I met these people and I think, well, maybe I'm not. And then I started talking with them and getting to know them. And I asked them, tell me, how do you speak so well? Or how do you know the faith so well? Or how is that you know how to pray? And why are you so patient with this guy that drives me crazy? And they would tell me, oh, well, I had a big conversion a year ago. What? Yeah, I was heavily into drugs and rock and roll or rap or whatever and doing this and that and the other. And I had this powerful encounter with Christ on this one retreat or whatever happened. And now I've been super involved ever since. I mean, since a year ago? Yeah. Really? Yeah. And I got angry. And I thought, that's ridiculous and it's not fair. I've been at this for 5 solid years and this drug addict only just converted like a year ago. When I was at holy hours, he was doing God knows what, right? Like the older son in the story, the parable of the prodigal son, right? While your son was off with prostitutes, well, how would he know? He just made that up to make his younger brother look worse, right? And I thought the same thing and I was angry. It's not fair, Lord. I've been at this for 5 years. I gave up this party and that girlfriend and the other girlfriend and this thing and that thing. All these things I didn't do that my peers were doing for love of you. And this is what I got. And look at him. You gave him all of that in just a year? It's not fair. I was angry. And as I would grumble to the Lord and complain and murmur, I came across this gospel passage. Are you envious because I am generous? Well, honestly, yes, Lord, I am. It's not fair. But I can only be quieted, silenced, as I heard this gospel and realized, wait a minute, God has not cheated me. He saved me. He continues to save me. He continues to bless me. I have nothing against what he has done for me. He has only been extremely generous. Why can't I celebrate his extraordinary generosity with someone who I think deserves it less? Christ didn't come to save the healthy. He came to save the sick. Christ was a scandal to the people because when he called Matthew, the author of today's gospel, he was a thief and a betrayer of his people as a tax collector. Not only did he betray his people to the Roman Empire to extort taxes from them without representation, and that goes close to home for us Americans, but then he stole a little extra to line his pockets, Well, he turned in religious people, Jewish peoples, who they would report to the government, I have this many acres of land, so as to pay less taxes. And then Matthew knew they had more because he grew up in the same town. He's known their family for years. And he tells the Roman authorities, no, 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 he doesn't have 4 acres, he has 8. He's lying to you. Okay, tax him for 8. Thanks, Matthew. That was Matthew. And Jesus, with one word, follow me, or in Spanish, in English, one word, follow me, leaves everything behind and follows him. And then he has a party in his home with a bunch of other thieves and traitors to their people, other tax collectors, and Jesus is eating with them. And the religious devout say, look at you. What are you doing eating with these sinners, betrayers, thieves? And he tells them, I have come for the sick, not the healthy. Jesus came to save everyone. So what if we are envious because of his generosity to those who have not worked at the sweat of their brow the entire day? You see, today's gospel, written by Matthew, is addressing a tension happening within his community between Jews and converts to Christianity and pagan Roman Greek converts to Christianity. The Jews were angry because for generations, the Jewish community in Matthew's to whom Matthew is writing in his gospel, many of them have been faithful to the Mosaic law for generations. And they're proud of the fact that for 5, 6, 10 generations, we have been faithful doers of the law of Moses, faithful to the commandments of God. And when the Messiah came, as the prophets foretold, we recognized him and believed and were baptized. For generations, we have been faithful, and we are faithful now. Meanwhile, these pagan Greek and Roman converts that just a few months ago were offering incense to the Roman gods or the Greek gods, committing all kinds of atrocious sins for their entire life for generations, are now sitting next to me receiving the same Eucharist. That's not fair. That's ridiculous. It shouldn't be that way. The Jews were angry. How can you treat these pagans who are our enemies just a year ago equal to us? And then they heard this gospel from Matthew, and they were silenced. My friend, am I cheating you? Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage, the gift of salvation? Take what is yours. I've held nothing back from you. What if I wish to give the same to the same to this last one that just came? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own grace or money? In their mindset, they were angry. And the response of the people in the gospel parable represented the Jews in Matthew's community. These last ones worked only 1 hour. They've only been a Christian for a year. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the day's burden, generation and heat, generations upon generations of denying these crazy lifestyles of the pagans to live faithful to the Mosaic law. And they hear these words, this parable of Jesus, and they're silenced. Wait a minute, God hasn't cheated me. I should celebrate the conversion of my now brother and sister in Christ, in spite of their past. This gospel is a scandal to those of us who have been faithful for generations, but it should be a sign of hope and joy for those who have not been, for those who are not Catholic. And we should welcome and celebrate their coming to faith. First, by recognizing that maybe we've been Catholic by culture and tradition, but not in practice. You see, this salvation offered by Christ is incumbent upon our conforming our lives to the commandments. So often today, too many Catholics say, I'm Catholic. They say, I believe in Jesus, but they don't practice. James, in his letter in the New Testament, says, show me your faith, and I will show you my faith through my works. Faith without works is dead. Faith is not because I say I believe in Jesus. Faith is because I live his commandments. When we don't keep his commandments, when we don't live as the church has explained those commandments to be, we don't have faith. Faith is about a relationship. It's not that the rules save us, but if we are in a true, genuine, authentic relationship with Christ that is intimate and real and heartfelt, then our lives will automatically change. Remember when you fell in love. You look back 10 years later and you think, a year before meeting this woman or this man, I would never have done the things I'm doing today for them. That would be ridiculous. And they don't always appreciate it, and they don't always reciprocate it. But because I'm in love, look at all the things I do every day for this person. It doesn't make sense. But because I'm in love, I follow all these rules without needing to, but because I love them, I do it. In that same way with Jesus, when we fall in love with him, that relationship transforms our lives so that we no longer want to break the rules. We're not trying to impose on Jesus or the church how I want to live and get his blessing. But rather we say, Lord, break my heart and conform it to yours. Make me like you. Do not be who I want you to be. Let me be who you have called me to be and made me to be. That's the difference. I believe in Jesus, but I don't go to Mass. I believe in Jesus, but fill in the blank. No, you don't. In John's first letter, chapter 2, open your Bibles, look it up. First letter of John, chapter 2, he says, the way we can be sure that we know him is if we keep his commandments. The one who says he knows him but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The way we can be sure that we know him is if we keep his word and behave as he did. First letter of John, chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. It's not my words, it's scripture. And so while many fool themselves, more of us each day hopefully recognize our own need for conversion. And in that conversion through frequent sacrament of confession, receiving the sacrament of confession, and then communion, we can celebrate other sinners who come to Christ, who may not have lived as we have, and now have had a huge awakening of a relationship, of a call. They're seeking happiness and the purpose for their life, and they're beginning to realize that it could be Jesus above all else. And so we want to encourage them by our lifestyle and by our own actions and words of support. At the end of the day, God's mercy is scandalous to those who at least consider themselves faithful. But to those who are not, it is a message of hope, of salvation, of new life. So for the sinner considering coming to Christ, and for you and I, the faithful week after week, may we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah just the same. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his ways and the wicked his thoughts. And let us turn to the Lord for mercy. To our God, who is generous in forgiving.